What's up, everyone? This is Alex coming at you. So this is the first episode of a podcast I presume I am starting as of now, over the last 15 seconds. There's really no form to this. It's just me kind of talking, getting some memories down, recording, figuring out my own thoughts, letting ideas and theories and whatever philosophies just kind of mull around in my own head and sorting them out through just talking to this microphone, talking to you, whoever's listening, wherever you are. Maybe you can relate to what I'm going to be saying. Maybe you can find some entertainment in my stories, my rants, my philosophies, and so on and so forth. But I don't really know what kind of intro I need or want to give you, so I'll just get into the meat of this story. So I live near the Adirondacks in New York, and within the Adirondacks, there are some high peaks. They're called the 46. High peaks, and historically, the high peaks are supposed to be over 4,000 feet in total elevation, so like sea level, right? 4,000 feet. These altitudes were calculated, I don't know when, I'm just gonna guess and say mid to late 1800s, maybe early 1900s. Don't quote me on that, you can go fact check me or whatever. But traditionally, they were thought to be over 4,000 feet. But after the measurements were confirmed with modern technology, some of these 46 high peaks in the Adirondack Mountains are sub 4,000 feet in elevation. They're close. They're all like 3,900 and above. The tallest of them is Mount Marcy at 5,343 feet in elevation. There's 46 high peaks in the Adirondacks, and people who climb them, hike them, when they get all 46, they're referred to as the 46ers. So, if I were to climb all 46 mountains, I would be called a 46er. And people can get their winter 46 as well, meaning that they summit all 46 mountains. Excuse me, in the snow. So this is something I got introduced to in 2013, I want to say. I was going to school. Actually, I wasn't going to school in this area yet. I actually was going to later on, but I had a friend who's going to the school. It's called State University of New York at Oswego. And the town we're from, the small town we're from, there's a lot of park systems. It's along Lake Ontario. There's a lot of trails. And, you know, I would say that I went on a lot of hikes in my hometown on these trails, but they're all pretty flat, not any serious elevation change, really no elevation change, in fact, very flat ground. So my friend was going out to the school, SUNY Oswego. SUNY is short for State University of New York. And it was summertime in between semesters, and I asked him, hey, you want to go for a hike? This is when we're living in our hometown. And he kind of chuckled and said, you mean a walk? See, he had been climbing these high peaks for a little bit since his school is closer to the Adirondacks. He was going out there with some friends. I think he was in the school outdoor club at the time. He kind of laughed at me. He says, you mean you want to go on a walk in the woods? Because our trails aren't very challenging. It's not really hiking. I guess it's hiking. It's really just walking through the woods on pretty flat trails. So we go on a walk. He kind of tells me about these mountains he's been climbing in the Adirondacks, and sounds good to me, right? I love nature. I love being outside, walking through the woods, like I was saying. So we make a decision to have a big trip out to the Adirondacks, where we're gonna spend like 4 or 5 nights camping in this mountain base area in a lean-to. Me and my friend and one other friend. We're gonna have like five. We're gonna sleep like 5 nights out there and climb as many mountains as we could. So we decided to do this and take action upon it as I am moving to the town to actually go to that SUNY Oswego school. So he was going there. He went there a semester before me, and I was coming up, and I got an apartment. I got a house with these girls I was going to be living with, and I moved into the place. I moved into the apartment, and it was, I think it was about 4 hours. Yeah, 4 hours away from the mountains. So our plan was to, me and my two friends were going to sleep in my apartment. And the following morning, we were going to wake up at like 3, 4 a.m., make the 4 hour drive and get situated at our base camp at our lean-to at like 8:30. Latest we wanted to be situated was like 9 o'clock. We wanted to be on the trail by 9 o'clock at the latest, because these are some pretty serious trails. The base is at like 1,100 feet of elevation, and like I said, most of the mountains are 4,000 plus feet in elevation, and the trails can be very long. 13-mile trails, round trip, stuff like that. Maybe 8 miles round trip. And in the mountains, you can kind of average 1 to 1.5 miles per hour as far as distance covers because of the elevation change. So we want to get on the trail early, whatever, set up. So we set up, hold on, I got to backtrack because this is an important part of the story. I got to backtrack. So we arrive at my apartment, you know, middle of the day, whatever, it doesn't really matter, but we get our stuff situated, get all of our gear together, pack up, and we decided, you know what, we should look at the map. Let's try to, you know, circle, highlight different trails and different mountains, and kind of plan out our next 5 days as far as what mountains we're going to summit, what's the best strategy, how much time are we going to need, whatever, you know, try to pound out the details. By the time we bust a map out and look and kind of strategize our approach, it's like 11 p.m. And remember, we were planning to leave at like, wake up at like 3, get on the road by 4, make it to the base camp at like 8. So at this point, it's 11 o'clock, and we figure, shit, if we go to sleep now, we're going to be so tired. We're going to get like 3, maybe 4 hours of sleep. Wake up and have to take a 4 hour drive and then start hiking. So, you know, sometimes when you go to sleep and you only get a few hours of sleep, you wake up super tired, but if you just stay up all night, you can kind of just get that second wind and make it through. That's what we decided to do. We were like, screw it, we're just gonna stay up all night, we're gonna smoke some pot, drink some beers, play some darts. So that's what our game plan was. We did it. But by like 3 o'clock, you know, we made some breakfast, got some eggs together, made ourselves some coffee, got in the car, and headed out. I think we were on the road right at 3. So we drive through the night. So it's me, two of my friends. I'm driving the car. And we make it to the place. We make it to the Adirondack High Peak region. It's called the Adirondack Lodge, spelled L-O-J. Set up our camping supplies, and back in this time, so it's 2016 now as I'm recording this. It's July 10th. It's like midnight right now. So it's 2016 now. This is back in 2013, maybe even 2012. No, it had to be 2013. But back in this time, I was in the mindset of, if I'm gonna be out in nature, I want to do things the natural way, okay? So what this means is, I'm wearing jeans, as far as like synthetic clothing goes, which would make sense. You know, athletic gear is all synthetic now, and the reason why it's synthetic is because it's lighter, it's breathable, it's waterproof or water repellent or moisture wicking, so if it gets wet, it dries out really quickly. In the mountains, they say cotton kills, because when cotton gets wet, it takes a long time to dry. So in the mountains, you can get wet if it rains or whatever, and your clothes get soaked if they're cotton, and they take forever to dry out, and then you die of hypothermia, or you suffer, and you chafe, and it's just terrible, uncomfortable. But I didn't care. You know, I like I said, if I was going to be out in nature, I was going to wear natural fibers. So that meant fucking blue jeans and a t-shirt. And my backpack was this heavy canvas bag. And it looked cool. It looked rustic. I was wearing fucking these leather hunting boots. So yeah, all my gear, all my setup, my camping supplies, everything was just old school, okay? And old school is heavy and uncomfortable and overall terrible. So we set up our camp, our camping stuff in the lean-to, and we start hiking. And this is the first time I ever did any high peaks. My friend, the one who was talking about them originally, introduced me to the whole thing. This may have been, I think he may have had 3 or 4, maybe 5 high peaks down at this point. So he knew the deal. It wasn't his first time doing this, so he understood the hardship. And then my second friend who was with us, he'd never done any high peaks either. So this is his first time as well. We got on the trail and we're hyped, right? We got our backpacks, we got our water. I fucking had like a 40-ounce canteen. I think one of my friends had a couple water bottles and the other one had a like a Camelback. No filter, nothing like that. We just filled up our water at the campsite and just thought that'd be good enough. We planned to do 3 peaks that day. And mind you, we've had zero sleep. Well, I had zero sleep. My friends maybe slept an hour or two in the car, but we were all running on pretty much no sleep. We'll call it zero sleep. So we start off, we're very enthusiastic. We're running on parts of the trails, but sure enough, very quickly, the trail gets pretty steep and rocky. And a lot of these trails, they're like dried out riverbeds or creek beds. Or not even dried out, they're just low volume of water coming down. And there are these big-ass rocks you gotta, like, big watermelon, or, like, twice the size of a watermelon, like, twice the size of basketballs. That's how big the rocks are. And they're all over the place. That's a trail. It's just a pile of these rocks leading up. It's just, it's a kind of like a dried-out creek bed. So you can't just walk quickly and carelessly, so to say, up this trail. No, you have to place your feet perfectly on every single rock, and that slows you down, and it takes a lot of mental energy to focus and place your feet just exactly perfectly. So we start slowing down as elevation starts to gain and the grade gets steeper. But the first mountain we climb is the second highest of the high peaks. I can't remember the elevation off my head. I think it's like 5,112 feet or something like that. That actually might be exactly what it is. It's called Algonquin Mountain or Algonquin Peak, whatever. It's Algonquin. That's the name of it. We summit that, and some of these peaks, they have a bald face. So like when you get to the summit, it's just like granite rock, so it's completely exposed. So that's what they call bald instead of like having trees. So it's very rewarding. When you get to the top, you have an incredible view over the entire Adirondack forest park, you know, the whole thing. So it's trees and mountains everywhere around you. It's really beautiful. Other peaks, though, they're not as tall, or they're just, maybe they are very tall, but they're not bald. So when you get to the top, you're at the summit, but you're still surrounded by some trees, so you get a terrible view. Not that great. You just gotta get them to tally up the mountains. But this one, Algonquin, beautiful view from the top, so that was sweet. The next mountain over was it's called Iroquois. But to get to Iroquois, you had to go down the back side of Algonquin up another smaller mountain called Boundary Peak. But Boundary Peak, it's just because it's a smaller mountain, it's not technically a high peak. It's still a mountaintop, but it doesn't count as a 46 as one of the high peaks. Still cool, but we have to go over that mountain, down again, and then back up to summit Iroquois. And from the summit of Algonquin, down its backside, up Boundary Peak, down Boundary Peak, and then up to the top of Iroquois, That probably took us an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And then the third mountain we wanted to summit was, we had to backtrack, so we had to go back down Iroquois, back up and down Boundary, and then back up the backside of Algonquin, summit that again, make our way down the trail, and the thing about fucking climbing mountains is the way up is tough, right? The thing about climbing steep-ass stairs, it's tough, you're going up, lots of resistance from gravity. But the worst part is going down, because you have momentum behind you, you have gravity pulling you down, and it's just constant plodding your feet. And again, they're not nice trails. You're plodding your feet, but you have to perfectly place them on roots and those big, giant stones. So you can't just, you're not like stepping down stairs. You're navigating and negotiating these weird terrain and obstacles, and it's just terrible. Just pounding your feet, dropping down. You know, when you go downstairs, it's like a nice like 8-inch drop. Everything's uniform. You're trying to take take like 2 stairs at a time on the way down steps. You always kind of like make that step, and then the last like 6 inches, you just kind of fall. You just catch yourself. It's like that, man. Like each step down is like a good foot every time. So you can't just nicely step down and catch your weight. I mean, you can, but it takes a lot of energy. Going down sucks. It's just way harder than going up. It's the worst part. So we're going up and down these mountains. So the third peak is at the other end of Algonquin. So let me repeat so we can get back on the trail, so to say. First mountain, went up and summited Algonquin. We got to go down the backside of Algonquin, over a little mountain, and then back to the top of a mountain called Iroquois. To get back to the third mountain that we want to climb, we got to go back down the way we came and basically backtrack our way over those three mountains, back to the summit of Algonquin, down the whole mountain, and then come back the main trail we came. And along the main trail that we came, leading up from the campsite, from the base camp, we have to go off to the side and hit this other peak called a Wright Peak. Now, Wright Peak has relatively historical significance because at the top, there was a plane crash. Some plane in, like, I don't even know what year. I'm not even going to guess, but a plane crashed into that peak. So there's some remains of the wings and the whatever, you know, there's wreckage up there. So we were like, let's do it. If we were to not make this mountain, eventually we'd have to go all the way this way and just hit that one mountain, because some of them are clustered together. So it makes sense to hit them all in a row, or else you just got to repeat sections of the hike in order to get that peak. So we're dying at this point, and we finally make it up the third peak, see the wreckage, hang out, you know, take some photos. We feel very accomplished, because for me and my other friend who have never climbed the peaks before, it's a big deal. We got 3 in 1 go, and the cool thing was that we were on 0 sleep, so we were completely spent, just totally exhausted. And we were young. I don't know, I must have been like 18 at the time. No, I was older than that. I must have been 19. But by the time we made it down the third peak and back to the base camp, it was a total of 13 hours of hiking. And I don't know, we maybe covered like 8 or 9 miles. I'm not sure about the mileage, but I know we were on the trail for 13 hours, like 13 and a half hours or some shit. 0 sleep, just totally fucked up, just tired, spent, exhausted. And because I was using this, I was in jeans and just terrible boots and a t-shirt and having a canvas backpack. And this is in the middle of the fucking summer. I think it was like August or July. I was suffering and I was fucking complaining and I was just dying on the trail. I ran out of water because I was sweating like a motherfucker. I think I used my last bit of water on the way back from the trail. So like I had 40 ounces and I was just like sparingly sipping on that. But it was, throughout many points in the trail, I just wanted to chug it, but I couldn't because it's my only water. Had no filter. Can't really drink dirty. You could probably drink the water in the Adirondacks, to be honest. You'd probably be fine, but you definitely don't want to get sick when you're on the trail. But, I thought it'd be cake because I'm in pretty good shape. Work out a lot and all that. I thought, you know, I'll be fine. Like, I'll just climb these mountains. And no, they whooped my ass, and I complained so much. I was such a little bitch. Just me, my inexperienced friend, we were both dying. And then my friend who'd climbed a few mountains, he was like, yeah, I told you it was this is what hiking is. He's like, you know, like, this is tough. And the entire time, you know, he's got the nice hiking boots. He's got the synthetic pants. He's got a comfortable pack. And he's making fun of me for my fucking canvas bullshit jeans and my rucksack and shit. But fucking, man, that was a good time. You know, that struggle, it brings you together with your friends, and it brings you closer to yourself, because it's quiet on the trail. You're suffering, but you have no choice but to keep walking. You can take rest periods. We definitely took a lot of rests, but the more you rest, the more prolonged your fucking suffering is, until you can get back to that base camp and just pass out. When you're walking along the trail, in regards to what direction you're going, on the way up to summit, you'll see people coming the opposite direction. You'll say, "Yo, how much further, man? Just around the corner, you know, a couple more miles. You know, how many more minutes? You know, so like an hour to the summit." And every time you ask them, they're just like, one more hour? No, it's like three more hours. You know, you ask them, and you always underestimate the distance. And that's a funny thing that I find, because I've done a bunch of them since, maybe not a bunch of them. I have 13 currently. I have 13 high peaks currently. And now when I see people on the trail and they ask, how much further is it? I know they're new to it, because I guess I'm experienced at this point. I've done 13. That's like 25%. But a lot of people have done a lot more than me, obviously. But I feel like I know the ropes by now, so keep my head down. I keep plodding along. I keep on trucking. So when I hear younger kids ask, or just people who, and I hear anyone who asks, you know, how much further is it, or all that, I know they're new to it, because it sucks. It's tough work, and it's surprising. But the cool thing about the Adirondacks, the high peaks, is that as tough as they are, anybody who can walk can do them. You see people who, that you'd see in normal day life, that you think are out of shape, they do them, and they are out of shape. But the thing is about mountains is this: you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep breathing, make sure you have water, and everyone on the trail is so friendly. On that day, people saw us just be exhausted, and this one dude I'll never forget, French Canadian guy, because we're close to Quebec. You get a lot of people from or we speak French, and he comes up to us, and he's like, in his French accent, he's like, you know, how you guys doing? How's your morale? He could tell that we were beat down and just suffering. He goes, you know what I like on the trail? What really picks up my spirits when I'm struggling? And of course you want to know, right? Because we're suffering. He busts out a bag full of like gummy bears, or it's like gummy worms, just like chewy gummy candies. He's like, man, you know, I just need a little bit of energy. I need a pick me up. These are sweet. They got a lot of sugar. It gives you energy, and you know, they're kind of a nice, fun food. So he hands us some gummy bears, and we just chew them up. It was a great little surprise gift, and it was just great. So I try to keep that mindset when I'm on the trail. You know, being hydrated really makes a big difference when you're in the mountains, especially on a hot summer day. So whenever there's like a creek, a water source, or whatever, if I'm filling up or I see other people near me, I always offer, hey, do you guys need water? I always carry a filter. So that's kind of my way to kind of give back and just kind of make people's experience on the trail just a little bit better. It's a kind of a touristy area, for some of the more popular mountains, like Mount Marcy, the tallest one. There's a lot of heavy traffic on that mountain. It's not too difficult. It's about 4,200 feet of elevation difference, I think, but over the course of 7 miles, so it's, I would call it a moderate difficulty. It's not too bad, so you get a lot of people coming out to those trails, and they're pretty well maintained because they're so popular. People want to get that tallest peak in New York, so Mount Marcy is the tallest Adirondack high peak, which makes it the tallest mountain in New York. So yeah, it's pretty popular. A lot of people will climb it because it's the highest, and because it's not too difficult. So you get a lot of inexperienced people there, and you'll run into people who are suffering on the hotter days, so it's always nice to just offer to fill up their water for them. But I've definitely come to learn that having the right gear goes a long ways, because when I'm out there on the mountains, I'm not trying to suffer. I'm doing that to get away from the daily grind, you know, the civilized life, so to say. That's my escape. That's where I go to find my zen. And I don't want to be uncomfortable. I want to be as comfortable as possible. So I have changed my mindset quite a bit. I get super lightweight gear, synthetic stuff, whether it's my backpack, ultralight tents, synthetic fucking pants and underwear and all that, you know. I don't stick with that old school vintage mentality of, if I'm going to be in nature, I have to have natural gear, because it's just not practical for comfort. Definitely not when you're climbing mountains. Maybe if you're just bushcrafting it, hanging out in the woods, not, you know, hiking in a few miles on flat ground, that's no big deal. But when you're hiking peaks, every fucking ounce matters, and it really goes a long way for comfort. But we get back to the base camp, right? And we just pass the fuck out. We're so spent. And wake up in the morning and it's raining, and our feet are just so sore, blistered up. We're just beat down, completely unprepared for 5 days of this. And there was some stuff going on in my family back home, and we all kind of looked at each other and agreed, yeah, we're not hiking on this day because it's raining. There's no way. And we just decided, yeah, let's just go home. Fuck it. So we planned and paid for like 5 nights of camping in this spot. We got a refund for the other 4 nights, but it was just so funny. The three of us were like these young kids, you know, 18, 19 years old. I think one of us was 20. Going in with these high expectations about how we're going to climb all these mountains. You know, we're going to get like 10 of them out of the way in 5 days. You know, if we do two a day for 5 days, we're going to get a quarter of the mountains done. You know, no big deal. You know, we're going to crush it. And the mountains totally beat our ass and sent us home. It was funny. But since then, I've done a lot of solo trips to the mountains. I really like that. I usually don't plan a trip as far, like, in advance, because of the weather. You know, it's tough to make plans to take off work or whatever, take 3 days and go out there, because if the weather doesn't hold up, then I don't really want to hike in the rain. I don't want to camp in the rain. I will if I have to, I suppose, but I don't plan it like that. Usually when I go up there, I'll just be like, hey, the weather's looking good this weekend, I'm gonna make a day trip out of it. And I don't go to that school. I only went to that school for one semester, so that got me an hour closer to the mountains. But when I moved back from where I'm originally from, my hometown, and went to school out here, I had another hour, so it's a 5-hour drive to the mountains. But it doesn't really faze me too often, because the way I'll do the trip is, I'll wake up at like 3, get on the road by like 3:30, drive 5 hours, get on trail at 8:30, and I'll hike from anywhere from maybe 4 hours, depending on how difficult the trail is, to maybe 8 or 10 hours, get back in the car, drive 5 hours home, and make a whole Saturday of it. You know, it's kind of cool, because you'll get to work on Monday, or you go to school on Monday, and people say, oh, you know, how was your weekend, what'd you do? And I get to say, I climbed a mountain or two, and people look at me like I'm crazy, or cops will pull me over because I'll speed. They'll be like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm going to a mountain right now. Oh, how long are you going to be here for? Just a day. And the cops are like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You're driving 5 hours one way, hiking for 6 hours, driving 5 hours back. I think I'm crazy. And they, see, that happened to me one time, right? It doesn't happen to me all the time. It just happened to me once, and I got pulled over because I had an earbud in my, I had two earbuds in, because the person I was with, she was asleep, and I didn't want to wake her up with like the music in the car, and I'm trying to stay awake for the drive, so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to put headphones in so I can listen to my music and keep myself awake. So he pulls me over for having two earbuds in, and we have a nice conversation about why I'm up there and climbing mountains, and tell them how I usually do it, how I like to make day trips out of it, you know. Because if I just go up on a Saturday, then I have Sunday to like relax, and then I get to work on Monday. I don't have to take work off. It's easy. We have a nice chat about it, and then he proceeds to write me a ticket. Fucking asshole. But I got out of that one, actually. Didn't have to pay anything. Let's see. More about my Adirondack experiences. So 2013 was the year that I started climbing them. And in that summer, it was like I said, July or August when I first made that first trip with my friends. I went back a few more times, maybe once or twice more during that summer for two or three more, four mountains or some shit like that. When the semester started and I was going to SUNY Oswego, I joined the outdoor club. And September came along. It was like September 15th or some shit. I think that's the date. On September 13th, I believe, I was riding a longboard around campus and took a really stupid fall and kind of hurt myself, twisted my ankle, and I was like, eh, no big deal, because I skateboard a lot, or I had skateboarded a lot in my time, in my youth, doing a lot of snowboarding. You roll your ankles, you twist your ankles, you sprain your ankles, it's no big deal. They hurt, they swell up, but they heal. So the fall was no big deal. So that was like on a Wednesday. And then I believe it was Wednesday, September 13th, 2013. And the following Saturday, so it must have been the 16th, the outdoor club went out to the Adirondacks, climbed two mountains. We did Giant and Rocky Ridge. Those are the two mountains. And I'm still wearing jeans at this point. Still wearing these thick leather, thick ass soled boots. They give you a ton of stability, but just no agility. You know, you can't be supple. It's just heavy ass boots. It's not good. I end up, between the fall and the skateboard and hiking in the mountains, I end up tearing something in my ankle. And at the time of the, while I'm climbing the mountains, by the time I get to the bottom of it, I think it was like a 10 or 12 hour trip. My feet just hurt. They always hurt after climbing mountains, the steep ones, or at least they did in those boots. So I didn't think much of it. But the next couple of weeks went by. I was working out a lot. My ankle just got worse and worse. It just hurt. I was limping. A couple months went by. I didn't get it looked at until like November. I ended up tearing a tendon in it. So I had to get surgery. And that's actually how I left that school. I only did one semester there. It was a fall semester. And when winter break came, that's when I got everything looked at. Had to get surgery for the tendon that tore in my ankle. So that's why I left Oswego. Got surgery in my hometown. And then switched schools. Ended up transferring somewhere else. But, so I had to take, I took two years off of hiking. Because the tear really jacked me up. And my ankle still hurts from it, depending on various circumstances. But I really wanted to heal up perfectly nice and not have any setbacks. So I really babied it. It took me probably like 2 years to get to full 100% capacity, where I could do whatever I wanted to do without really having to worry about it. The first year, I was super careful on it. I mean, I was on crutches for maybe, I was on crutches and in a cast and shit for maybe 4 or 5 months. I know I did a whole entire semester on crutches. It was pretty banged up because it took me so long to get it looked at and fixed. It was in bad shape. So I took a few years off, a couple summers off of hiking. And then I just started back up in the winter of 2016 and this summer. So I've bagged, let's see, since the fall of 2015 and now it's the summer of 2016, I've only gotten three separate trips out. I went with my girlfriend at the time. She's never climbed any high peaks, so we did a really mellow one in the fall of 2015 in like October or some shit. And then in the summer I did another one with her. And she was kinda deconditioned, so we planned to do like two, but we only got one. And then the most recent time I went like last month or like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Like three weeks ago. I went and hit Marcy, and this time I was like, I'm not driving out. I'm not going to just drive out, hike, and then drive home the same day. I'm getting tired of it. It's exhausting. So I was like, hey, I'm just going to bring all my camping supplies. I'm going to set up tent, all that stuff. So I had a full loadout. So usually when it's just a day trip, I just have to, bring some food, bring a water filter, bring a few items in a small backpack. So it's quick moving out there. I don't have a heavy load. Maybe I only have like 5 pounds on my back. But this time I had to bring in like a 22 pound load, which is relatively light, I'd say. It's definitely not super heavy. It's not ultra light. I would just say it's light-ish. So I plan on hiking Mount Marcy and getting another one called Tabletop on the same day, and then camp out in the high peaks, and then just hike in the next day to my car, and then drive out, make it a one-nighter. So I made it to the summit of Marcy, made great time. I think it took me like 4 hours to go 7 miles, which is pretty good considering the elevation change and the load on my back. But it beat me up on the way up. I was like, damn, that was tough. And on the way down, it was pretty hard. So I skipped the second mountain. Like, looking back, I totally should have fucking got it. Because it would have only added, I think, like 500 elevation upwards over the course of like a mile. So total, it would add 500 feet up, 500 feet down, 1 mile up the summit, 1 mile back down. Probably would have only added like maybe 2 hours most to my day of hiking. So I ended up skipping it. I bitched out, totally bitched out, and set up camp, whatever, and had a great night, ate my food, relaxed from 5 to like 8 until the sun went down, and went to sleep, woke up, and walked an hour to my car, got up and left. But I've done 3 trips in the last, like, I guess, since, like, I guess 10 months or so, 8-9 months, and 3 trips and only 3 peaks. Ideally, I planned on doing, it should have been 3 trips and 5 peaks at this point, but hey, things don't go as planned always. But the funny thing about sleeping in the mountains or just camping in general, in society, in civilization, we, the sun goes down, it gets dark out, we're inside our houses, looking at our screens and our phones and turning on lights just so we can, you know, stay up and do our shit, you know, eat dinner or whatever we're doing. And the lights keep us up. So think about light, right? So blue light, especially blue light's very prevalent in a lot of artificial light sources like your phone, light bulbs, LEDs. So like, you know, there's been that, I guess the reform, some law was passed so that incandescent light bulbs in the United States are phasing out. I think they stopped making them. They're going to stop making them. It's only going to be switched to fluorescent bulbs. And fluorescent bulbs are predominantly blue light. And incandescent bulbs, because they use heat to heat that filament up to make that light, they're a little bit more orange in color. So they're a little bit darker. That's why they're not as energy efficient. But blue light, so this general blue light, when it enters our eyes, it suppresses the production of melatonin. And you might be familiar with melatonin because it's a chemical that people will take to make them fall asleep when they can't fall asleep. So during the daytime, the sun enters our eyes and it brings blue light into our eyes to suppress melatonin. That's why we're awake. So society, the way I'm getting at is in society, we have lights on, whether we're looking at our phone or we have lights on in our house. That keeps that light exposure keeps us up. So now there's apps called like F-Lux, and you can get, like, I think the new iPhone, the new operating system, it dims your screen based on how bright it is outside and like what time of day it is. So it puts a block on the blue light and gives you like an orange filter. And that, in theory and in practice, it reduces the amount of blue light going into your eyes so you can go to sleep easier and get more restful sleep. So that's cool. But what I'm getting at is when you go camping in the woods, the sun goes down, and unless you're going to have a campfire going, there's nothing to do. You can't see shit. At that point, you've already eaten dinner. You're probably tired from camp or from hiking or whatever you've been doing outside where you're camping. Just because you're camping doesn't mean you're climbing mountains, but if you're camping, you're probably being pretty active. So you're probably tired. You already ate. Sun goes down. Maybe you do have a fire, but you're not going to let that fire go for a long time. How late are you really going to be tending it, especially when you're in the, for me, when I'm in the mountains, it's not going to be much. The high peaks, actually, you can't even have a campfire. You have to cook over a stove, a camp stove, and can't have a fire over a certain elevation. But regardless, even if you did have a fire, it's so orange and red that there's probably not a whole lot of blue light going into your eye and fucking up your melatonin production. But when I go camping, it gets dark out, nothing to do. I just go to sleep, right? I just go in my tent, zip up in a sleeping bag, and just pass out. And it could be like 8:30. And because it's dark, you pass out real quick. And you sleep. I sleep so restful in the woods. It's just dark. There's a little bit of ambient noise as far as insects and other animals moving about. But then, I fall asleep and the sun goes down. And I wake up when the sun comes up. And it's just the most perfect night's sleep. It's just the perfect cycle. I don't know. You wake up to birds chirping. And you just wake up with the rest of the animals that are in the woods. And this is something that I've noticed lately. I get the best night's sleep when I'm in the woods. And it's that natural cycle of going to sleep when the sun goes down and waking up when the sun comes up. It's pretty nice. But that's kind of all I had to say about my experiences in the Adirondacks. If you keep listening, you'll come to find that I definitely love nature. I love just being healthy. Really into fitness. I'm a personal trainer sometimes, a little bit. And just being a human, you know? Being a human, being a human animal, being that species, Homo sapiens. We, in modern times, we're trapped in our houses. You don't get out much. Think about New York City and the lifestyle people in New York City live versus our hunter-gatherer ancestors of, like, 15,000 years ago. It's totally different, and it's so bizarre for me to observe kind of how humans have come along and how we behave and how we interact with ourselves and our community and the planet. And I like natural shit. I'm a hippie in that way. I'm a hippie in many ways. I'm pretty fucking dirty, but I love nature. I love being outside. I try to be outside as much as possible. And what better way to be a human than to climb some mountains and sleep in the dirt? So, yep, that's my story about the Adirondack High Peaks, how I got introduced to it, how they hurt you, and they suck, and they're full of suffering. But you reach that summit, and it's fantastic, and you get to spend time with yourself on the trail, pushing through your own limits, getting to know yourself a little bit better, and just escaping the bullshit of civilization and technology, just kind of getting back to the roots of what it means to be a human and having some alone time with yourself. I think it's good for you. So this is Alex. This is the first episode of a podcast that I have yet to name. I don't even have a site or anything, a website or even a way to publish and broadcast this audio file. I'll get around to it. I may end up recording a handful of shows before I end up posting any of them. But so by the time you hear this, it's probably not going to be probably for a few weeks since I recorded this. I don't know. I'll get around to making the website. By the time you hear it, I'll obviously have the website and have this going. But whatever, I'm droning on at this point, so I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you stay to listen to more of my insignificant stories. Maybe you enjoy them, maybe you don't, but I don't know. I'm having fun with this, so cheers, everybody.